Welcome to On the Upbeat. I'm Matt, and despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. With me, as always, is Mr. RJ Phoenix.
Hey, everybody, I'm RJ Phoenix, and there's two things that I do, and one is drink Mountain Dew, the second one is talk to people about ska, and today I just had a classic Mountain Dew. Nothing fancy, nothing too special, unpretentious, awesome, classic. Speaking of classics, we have some classic Midwestern ska punk legends on the show today. We're joined by Dave from Mustard Plug. What's going on, Dave?
Woo! Hey, how's it going? Good to be here.
Awesome.
So glad to have you back, man.
So Dave, how is your Monday going?
Monday's been pretty good. Yeah. Did a lot of errands, got stuff done, had a good dinner, you know. Good Monday.
Yeah, awesome. So recently you all played Supernova. What was playing Supernova like? How'd that go?
It was awesome. Like, we did it a couple of years ago, and it was the first time we played it. It's such a great event because there's just such a good community around it. And, you know, it was hard for me to walk from one end of the festival to the other because, like, I would get stopped every, like, 10 seconds to, like, someone I knew or whatever. It's like, oh, my God, it's taking so long, that sort of thing. And this year, like the first year we played it, it was smaller because we were just kind of coming back from COVID. This year was a lot bigger. We weren't sure if we were going to be there or not. We were kind of a last minute addition. I think we got added like a couple weeks right before the show actually happened. So it was like a really, really amazing surprise. And we were completely stoked to be there. So it was good.
That's awesome. Sounds great. RJ, how have things been for you this past week since we last spoke?
Oh, geez, just about the same as always. Not too crazy. I did the mistake that I always make, that I always say on the show. When something went wrong, RJ, what'd you do? I went to a buffet and I ate too much, and I felt bad because I ate too much because I'm a big dummy. And you'd think at 45 I'd learn by now. But nope. Got to get my money's worth and then not do anything for the next day and a half. How about you, Matt?
These are poor, though. Overeating, you know, that's the whole point of a buffet, really.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I used to get angry at buffets because they would intentionally give you a smaller plate. But as I've gotten older, I appreciate it because, yeah, I definitely put less food on that smaller plate. If they gave like a regular size plate, yeah, there'd be no never ending. So
I always feel like I'm getting a better deal because, like, with a small plate, because you have to go back more times. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting my $9.99's worth because I went to the buffet thing like table three times or whatever.
Yeah, like how many places? Yeah, see, this place is a little pricier than that, and they do give you full on big plates.
Oh,
and I think that might be where part of the problem happens.
Big plates.
Wow, fancy RJ.
I did 3.5 big plates. I wanted dessert real bad too, but that was not happening.
Yeah, RJ thought he was getting away with not being pretentious by just having the regular Mountain Dew. No. Went to a full big plate buffet.
Well, I mean,
American food or Asian food or what?
It was a new place called Chinese Seafood Buffet that opened up like a block from me. So my wife went crazy on crab legs because they just started doing crab legs. She definitely got her money's worth on the crab legs. Like, there's no doubt there.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I didn't. Yep. I didn't do much this weekend. Kept it pretty. What am I talking about? I went to a ska show on Saturday night. Where's my brain?
Yeah, what are you talking? Come on, a ska show. Tell me about it, Matthew.
So went out to this ska show. It was a very interesting venue. I'll tell you about that first. So it was like a barber shop / bar. Okay. So I was sitting there thinking. So there's basically this. The row of the barber shop chairs, and you can see the little stations and all that stuff. And then, you know, I don't know, 20 feet across the way, there's like a bar. It's not a huge place. Probably is about as big as like a really big barber shop, but instead of more chairs, it's just
a bar.
And part of me was like, I don't know. do the people cutting the hair drink? Because I think that them having alcohol and sharp tools, especially if they're like, you know, those close razor shaves.
Yeah, straight
razor.
Oh, yeah.
Straight
yeah.
razor.
Straight razor, yeah.
That probably doesn't mix well with alcohol. That you should probably avoid that. But I don't think I don't think they drink. I can't imagine.
For the patrons, something to do while you wait time. I knew there used to be some places where I grew up called Suds, where it was a laundromat / bar, so you could do your laundry, but as you're waiting, go have a drink.
Yeah, but as far as the ska show, it was the Opposite Standard. They played. They only have one song on Spotify. I don't know if they have more on Bandcamp, so I'm not entirely sure. But they're pretty good. They're ska punk from Orange County, so it's great. The Stepdaughters played. We've had them on the show, and they're good. One of the better albums of 2022. Mm-hmm. Check them out. And then, of course, Hooray for Our Side, one of the most underrated current bands out there. I don't think they get enough attention. But yeah, so it was a good show. Good time seeing, you know, Orange County ska people. That's always, even though technically it was outside of Orange County. Some of us had to drive a little further.
Oh, no.
Says, yeah, exactly. The guy from LA who often has to come to the Orange County shows.
Yeah.
So yeah. But I
go to all the North Hollywood ones, though. Yes. Some OC shows.
Yes, yes. All right. So let's get into ska news. Here we go.
Woohoo.
Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but Kevin, you're about to miss me in ska news.
Yes, ska news, where we tell you about the latest releases in ska. So, first up for ska news, we have our friend Eric Dano. Or is it Dano? Is it Dano?
Dano.
Dano. Okay. Eric Dano. They announced that they were releasing a new album that will be out on October 10th. The new album is called Book of Spells. And you can pre-order it right now for CD, vinyl, digitally on Eric's Bandcamp page. And, of course, I'll put that in show notes. They also released a new single for it, and we're going to listen to a clip of it right now. It's called Protection Spell.
I'm just a lump of carbon atoms imbued with cosmic energy, tracing back from the Big Bang through space and time to the ground beneath my feet and body, into my body. I'm just a lump sum of my failures, but I've retained my agency. Defense against what slowly creeps into my mind, so I offer tribute of my body. It's just a body. Protect me from the evils of this world. Protect me from the GOP and Christianity. Protect my friends and let us grow into who we're supposed to be. Let us grow into who we're supposed to be.
I love this song. It's so great.
It's a good one. I always like what Eric's putting out. No, yeah. I'm a big fan.
I think Eric is one of the best sort of like sticking to a framework that they, you know, because they often take sort of things like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons sort of magic metaphors in their songs, and it just works so well. They do it great, you know. I'm excited about that new album. October 10th, make sure you all check it out. RJ, what do you got for ska news?
All of a sudden, Madness decided to drop a new single on us last week.
Yeah.
So I was not expecting this. I followed them on social media. I hadn't really seen much. And then all of a sudden, new single. It's called C'est La Vie. It's fun. It's Madness. Here you go.
Oh, life's picking begins at 5 to 8. No time to waste, it will not wait. A lay-in that was yesterday. Up a matum into the fray. There'll be no time to catch your breath. The enemy of life is dead. So sweep the hallway, mop the wall. Your destiny's about to cool.
That's pretty awesome. I gotta say, that's
yeah. I gotta hand it to Madness because you know they're a ska band and then they were a pop band and then they took some time off. Then they came back as a ska band and they keep making great ska songs. So big fan. I can't wait to hear more of what they got. The single actually has 2 B-sides to it, so go ahead and check that out online because it's well worth your time.
Awesome.
Good too. I was just listening to it today. I'm stoked. I hope they come to the States and play some shows.
Oh, that'd be awesome because yeah, I've never seen them.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be great. We're going to keep it in the UK. Next up, we have a UK two-tone ska band called Death of Guitar Pop. They released the 3rd single off their upcoming album. The new single is called The British Bulldog.
I love this song so much, and I love that Matt is playing a song that's all about enjoying professional wrestling.
Didn't even recognize that. The song is streaming everywhere now. The new album will be coming out October 13th, Friday, October 13th, and that new album is called Be Lucky, but we're going to listen to a clip of the new single called The British Bulldog by Death of Guitar Pop.
Mother's drunk on the hunt for a man. Hold up and sand. Colada in hand, I'm sat in the British Bulldog bar, watching SummerSlam, and the familiarity of Stone Cold 316's my only comfort in this foreign land. Sex on the beach, sex on the beach. Mother, she's so horny. French kissing the jerky. Sex on the beach.
I still don't hear a wrestling reference, but maybe...
He says he's watching SummerSlam at a bar and Austin 316. Yeah, and it's nominally named after famous wrestler the British Bulldog. So, yeah, there's a lot there.
Well, if I'd only known. Just kidding. all right.
Before we get to the interviews, I do want to offer an editorial about last week's episode and all the mistakes I personally made on it. And Matt, too. First of all, customers are not from Tennessee. They're from Kentucky, so they should be our state band from Kentucky. I'm a dumb. Secondly, I was pointed out by Chris Smale of Johnny Sacco and Coolidge that we were talking about California ska bands, and neither one of us mentioned Fishbone
yes.
A couple of dummies.
Yeah, we're so dumb. So dumb.
And when talking about Hawaiian ska bands, I forgot about the Tantra Monsters. So there we go. I think that's the only 3 mistakes we made on that entire episode.
Oh, that's pretty good. 50 states, only 3 mistakes. That's not too bad. So yay us. You know, what's that? That's got to be at least a minus at least.
No, that's an A. That's okay. An A all day.
Oh, good. It's the only A I've ever gotten in school. All right.
This is a non-accredited class, Matt.
Oh, dang it. All right, now to the main event that you all showed up for and may have even fast-forwarded to. We'll see.
Probably.
You can let us know. Dave.
It's Dave from Mustard Plug. Let's just, in case anyone did fast-forward, they're looking for, we're talking to Dave from Mustard Plug. Come on.
So it's been 9 years since Mustard Plug's last official full-length album. And so how does it feel to have a brand new record out right now?
Feels great. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of at the point where we weren't sure if we were ever going to release something else. And it's been like, you know, and it's exciting to have like new music to play. It's also like kind of scary to throw out new music, you know. I'm one of those bands that, and we've been around for like 30 something years. So a lot of our fan base is like really wants to hear a lot of our like classic stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's kind of what they expect at shows. And so even to throw out, you know, the occasional new song is nerve wracking because you just kind of wonder how to go over it. It adds to like sort of like the excitement though of doing it. The challenge of it all is, and it's been great because we did 4 release shows in the Midwest, and those, and we did probably 4 or 5 songs, new songs per show, and we had a great response live too. So I mean, it's one thing you put something up online and, you know, people are generally either going to ignore it or tell you it's good. I mean, there aren't many people going to be like, your new stuff sucks. But when you play, you know, play something live in front of like 300, 400, 500 people, like those, you can tell if people are like going to get a beer, you know what I mean? Or if they're into the music, and it's been the response has been great. So yeah, it's exciting to finally do it, you know?
So when did you all start working on this album, and what can you tell us about sort of putting it together?
Yeah, so I mean, maybe like 3-4 years ago, we just talked about the idea of, you know, maybe we should try to like write some songs. It's been a few years. And then it's really like, you know, prior to COVID, we noticed, you know, there's been kind of an upswing in ska and a lot more energy. And we did a tour with the Toasters on the West Coast, like right before COVID. That was probably like, was it January 2020 or something like that? Yeah. And it was just like one of the best tours we've done since the 90s, and just, you know, felt that energy and stuff. And so we really felt like, you know, we really need to like take another stab at writing some new music. And then COVID hit, and we're stuck in our houses, and like, okay, this is it. We have nothing else to do but write songs. So we did it. We wrote this album completely different, like in terms of like, we didn't all just jump into a room together. This time, you know, we basically traded tapes online. We used, you know, first GarageBand, and then Logic, which is sort of an advanced version of that. And, you know, Colin generally would come up with like the skeleton of the song, and then he would send that out. And then I could like go into my basement and throw down lyrics and words and that sort of thing. Horns could throw up on horns, you know, if they had something. And people just, different people would throw on different parts. And then, you know, over the course of that time, we ended up with like, you know, 17, 18 songs. And then we probably spent like a year or so just like in Colin's basement, figuring out how to play them and, you know, fine tune the arrangements, fine tune all our parts. So yeah, it was kind of a different writing process, but you know, it was good. And once, you know, we felt pretty strongly about the songs, you know, pretty quickly. Like we felt that these are some of our best songs in a while. And so we decided to go back to the Blasting Room where we recorded Evil Doers Beware and In Black and White, which are kind of two of my favorite records that we've done. And you know, it was, you know, a huge investment of money and huge investment of time. You know, we're kind of old dudes now, and like we have, you know, wives and families, jobs. So it's not always easy for us to take off for like 2 weeks and just sit somewhere and record. Yeah. But, you know, we felt like really strong about the album, strong enough that, you know, we wanted to like give it all we could. So, and we're really happy with the outcome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I listening to the record several times since it's been out, I kind of noticed the theme, not only from the song titles, but many of the lyrics. I just kind of wondering if what I'm sort of, you know, grabbing onto is sort of intentional. The album seems to have a theme of being lost or trying to find direction or just sort of being out of sorts in general. Was that something intentional?
You know, I don't think it was intentional. It's not like we started to like, oh, let's come up with a theme record, a concept record, anything like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, being stuck at home, you know, during the pandemic, I mean, kind of isolated. I mean, I think if there's a theme, it has to do with isolation. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. I mean, you know, Where Did All My Friends Go is the title track. And that came from just like being stuck and going from a place where like we're on tour and everything's great to like being stuck at home with like no one around and not being able to see anyone physically, that sort of thing. Yeah. And there's that, but it's also like, I think, you know, as you get older, it's a lot harder to keep friends. It's a lot easier to feel isolated, that sort of thing. And I think that, and also think social media, the way that's evolved, I think that's actually ironically turned into a force of isolating people more than bringing people together. It's unfortunate, but I think that's the net of outcome of social media, is actually making people feel more isolated. So I mean, I think that's, to me, that's the overall theme. Now, the interesting thing about it is that, you know, I wrote at least half of the lyrics, but I didn't write all of them. And Colin wrote quite a few lyrics, and he had, if you ask him about like his time during COVID and the lockdown, he'll tell you he loved it. I don't know. It's just like, I'm not exactly sure why, but I think, he's just like, felt, I think it was just kind of like lack of pressure to go out and do anything or whatever. And certainly, like, you know, the one good thing I remember about being in the whole pandemic lockdown thing is like that whole fear of missing out just disappears because you realize no one else is doing anything, right, either. So, yeah, no. And I think, so maybe he responded to that. But from my lyrical perspective, it's definitely more like isolation and trying to figure out how to overcome that and deal with it.
Yeah. The pandemic.
Yeah, I was picking up a lot of themes of like getting older and maybe feeling a little bit out of touch, but still having something to say.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What did you say, man?
Yeah. We're going to listen to Where Did All My Friends Go in a minute. But I did, there's the song, Rebel Youth.
Yeah.
Rebel Youth Face. That's the other word I couldn't think of.
Yeah.
What is that song about? Because I have my own feelings and thoughts, but I found it sort of interesting. What can you tell us about that song?
Well, I mean, I guess to preface, like, I think it's cool when people come up with their own meanings for our songs. And I mean, I have my own meanings. And I think if people like come up with something completely different, I think that's cool too.
Yes, yeah.
But I don't want to like overly say this song's about this, because I mean, a lot of songs are vague and it's kind of like sort of poetry, so you can interpret it however you want. And as long as there's some meaning for it to you, that I think that's great. But but I guess the inspiration of that song is just like, it has to do with nostalgia, mm-hmm, and also youth culture, and being nostalgic for youth culture is part of it, but also the commodification of youth culture.
Right.
So, and commodification of youth culture nostalgia, and people taking that and selling it to someone else. And so it becomes a product. So I think there's all these kind of dangers involved with that. And that's kind of loosely what the song's about. Honestly, that was the song that I came up with, that I came with the lyrics and came with roughly like the vocal melody, which is, and so like I said, most of the songs on the album that Colin came up with, that was one that I started off with. And honestly, I thought it was just more of an experiment. And it's a really kind of different sounding song. And if there's one inspiration besides that, it's like, I tried to like, okay, if Big Audio Dynamite wrote a ska song, let's try to do that. And I honestly thought the song would never make it to the album, but the other guys liked it. So we kept it on.
I like it.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up too. So it hit a chord with both me and Matt. So you're doing something right there, Dave.
Yeah, really? Okay, cool.
I picked up a lot of what you kind of just mentioned, this sort of nostalgia, but it's also this sort of manipulated product that we're sold to try to grab towards our youth and what we remember. You know, it's kind of like there's this sort of good, healthy part of nostalgia, and then there's this sort of like
the nostalgia bait.
Yeah. Well, this like Al Bundy from Married with Children, who like is still talking about some football thing he did, you know,
right?
Three touchdowns,
and like, yeah, and it,
totally,
you know, and it's just like, is that what you want to be like, where you never move on, sort of like, but you're just being sold this sort of nostalgia. So it's like, so yeah, I kind of identify. It's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, that and Vampires, especially when I sort of like, I just assumed like maybe it was just sort of like an intentional spooky song, and then I started listening to the lyrics. I'm like, oh, they're talking about something else that may, you know, I mean,
or somebody else.
Somebody, yes, exactly. Somebody else, like an actual, it's not just like a spooky song in the way that like Thriller's just a spooky song intentionally.
I'm gonna leak it to you right now. It was totally inspired by Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the vampire in that song.
Yeah, I mean, I figured either that specifically or just sort of a bad politician that you didn't like and
the whole MAGA thing, really.
Yeah. So it definitely was something I just I've been listening to it now that it's like Halloween. That song's great. I love it. It's like,
well, and it works as a great, just as a Halloween song too.
Like, so, however, just the sort of, the lyrics are great, but then it has the spooky vibe to it. And the video for it, that you guys were all able to get that actress from Renfield, and that was just such a
you know about that before that movie came out?
No. It's crazy. So the movie, like, well, before the movie came out, they hit us up because they wanted to use one of our songs in it, right? And they worked out like the licensing deal and everything, and then like we're like, oh sweet. And then it got cut at the last minute. I think they used a Slacker song instead or whatever. So we're like, oh man, we're like really sad about that.
Yeah.
But then the movie came out and like, you know, immediately like got a text like, dude, I went and saw Renfield last night. They like total name checked you guys. What? So that was almost cooler, really.
Yeah.
And then what happened is our bass player Greg was working on an animated video. He had this big concept, the animated video for that song. And, you know, we're like, all right, Greg, go for it. And this was like months ago. And I'm just thinking back in my head, it's not easy to do an animated video. And he just thought it was or something. I don't know. And he just basically, long story short, he didn't get it done in time. And so we're like 5 days out and we're like, dude, this is like our second single or whatever. And every other single that we're dropping has a video. We had to do something. And we had this buddy, Chris, who's done some videos for us, Chris Graw. And, he's just like, I've got an idea. So he was able to like track down the actress from Renfield and do this video like last minute. Like this was shot probably like 4 days before before the single got released. And he did it. He edited it real quick. And we're like, no way. Yeah. So that was a total last minute Hail Mary thing that Chris totally pulled off for us.
Yeah. He's so good at those videos. So good.
It's great. He did another one for us too. He did Why Does It Have to Be So Hard, which was that video as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so we're gonna listen to Where Did All My Friends Go, and then we will come back and chat some more. Here we go.
Shut down. The train stop running. The bus stop coming. No lights on in the town. You left me waiting in a field gone fallow, and the time just slips away as the line goes silent. Can't afford the rent. I can't.
Yay!
Thanks.
You know, as I was listening to that, I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
And when, you know, you as a band get, you know, mixes and you guys are just going over that, do you have a preferred way that you listen back to stuff? Like, I know some people will, like, they want to listen to it in headphones because they think that really sort of helps. Some people I know, they choose to listen to it in a car because they, like, that's where most people, they think, feel will listen to music, which I kind of agree with. Do you have sort of like a preferred way to listen back to mixes?
Yeah, I think it's good to listen to it as many different places as possible. Like, so I'll listen to it with like earbuds, just like whatever, $20 Apple earbuds or whatever.
Right.
And I'll listen to it on my stereo that I'm used to, my home stereo, which sounds really different too. And then I'll listen to it in my car as well. And I mean, if it sounds good all three places, then it's going to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's smart to get like, because I mean, people that listen to stuff just in the studio, it's going to sound great in the studio because it's like, you know, you have these expensive speakers. It's all like set up to sound great. But it's like more important, like you said, most people hear it on their earbuds, in a car, whatever. So, I mean, that's way more important. And with this record, when we were out there for 2 weeks, we didn't do any mixing at all. That was just tracking. And we came home. And then Jason Livermore is the primary engineer that does the mixing there. There's different at the Blast Room, there's different people. It's Bill Stevenson, who's like the head producer, but Jason does like more of the mixing, I think. But anyways, we were home and he would just send us mixes and make comments and, like, you know, he'd tweak us, send it back. And so there's a lot of back and forth over the course of like 3 weeks, I think, something like that. Yeah. But we weren't like in the studio over his shoulder, which is probably, I think, how he prefers it. And we would probably kill each other if all, you know, 7 months were in the studio.
Yeah. So this new record is out on Bad Time Records. How did that all come together?
You know, so we had like the songs and we were feeling really good about the songs and we were debating what to do. And there's kind of like different routes. I mean, we could either like, we could self-release it, which, you know, there's some definite benefits of that in terms of like, you know, you keep all the money and like you have control, creative control. And we, you know, I used to have a little label and I know a little bit about the biz, so I probably could have done a decent job. So there's that route, or the exact opposite is to like shop it around to like bigger labels. You know, I mean, we like, you know, we talked about, should we send this to Hopeless? Should we send this to Side One? Should we send this to Epitaph? Whatever. And you know, it's like the problem with that, like the bigger labels, is like you lose control and you lose like at least half the money. You know what I mean? And you don't know if it's with the bigger labels, if you're a priority, they're going to work it and it's going to be great. If they decide you're not a priority, then you're just screwed because they're like not working the record and they're taking all your money. And, you know, we've had a little bit of experience, you know, because we were on Hopeless, and Hopeless, you know, over the course of our time with Hopeless, they started as sort of like more of a punk rock label, which we really dug, and they kind of evolved into a sort of like more of a big, almost like major label, their philosophy type thing.
Sure.
And it's just like, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, this porridge is too cold, this porridge is too hot. Let's find something in the middle. And Bad Time, you know, we know Mike from Kill Lincoln, and he's like a really good dude. There's a lot of trust there.
Sure.
And you know, he's not like, he runs his label on really punk rock, I guess, morals, or, you know, that sort of thing, philosophy, I guess. And so, and, you know, he doesn't like, there's no contract with us. You know, if we want to leave, we can.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you two work together because you want to work together, not because you're like stuck in some 8-page or 20-page contract that some lawyer made up, you know? So it's kind of the best of both worlds. And one of the things I like about Bad Time is that, I mean, there's just a lot of energy and enthusiasm and sincere love for ska with that label, you know, which is great, but it's also like, it has its own little community too.
Right.
I mean, everyone's friends and, you know, and I got into, you know, punk rock and then ska. I was always been attracted to the community around it. And that was, I mean, when I first got into that music, the labels that really fascinated me were like Discord and Touch and Go and SST. And, you know, you can see the bands toured together and we're friends and that sort of thing. And, you know, that era of punk, like, it kind of fell apart, you know, in the late 80s. And then when I started getting into ska in the late 80s, early 90s, you could tell the bands knew each other because they played together and that sort of thing. And when in the mid 90s, Moon sort of had that little community going too, which is pretty cool. Moon Sky had it. And we were like, you know, loosely affiliated with Moon. And I've always been tight friends with Buck. And I think it's really cool that, like, that's that community of ska is really happening again, you know, with not only the old bands, but the new bands. And Bad Time and Mike really, they have kind of their shit together in terms of, like, the business. It doesn't feel like it's going to fall apart next month, which a lot of labels do. So they got the business kind of together, the punk rock morals, and the community. So it's just kind of like the perfect place for us to be right now, you know, and we're happy about it.
Yeah, Mike's a good dude. Mike's definitely
definitely
a very authentic person from my experience with him and everyone we've talked to coming from that label. And you're right, the community around it, like, everyone supporting everyone, and just just a great vibe behind it.
Yeah, we're friends with like half the bands on the label already. You know, I mean, because we're the first band to bring, like, Catbite out on the road. And, you know, we've done songs with, like, Kill Lincoln. Of course, we've done, you know, played a bunch of shows with, like, Gene Navarro and the Suicide Machines and, you know, whatever. And, you know, We Are the Union, we go back, I don't know, so they got their start and they started in Eastern Michigan or whatever. So, you know, there's all those bands we've been friends with forever. So, yeah, it's just a real homey place to be.
So Mustard Plug and Big D are going out on a West Coast tour this month. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we're pretty stoked. We've been talking about touring with Big D for a long time because it's been years. Like, I don't know when the last time we toured with Big D was. And we've been buddies with them for, you know, 20 years or something. So it's tough to kind of put these things together. And, of course, pandemic kind of got in the way. And it's just like there's a lot of, like, logistics of, like, getting our booking agents to work together and just whatever. So we've worked on it and talked about it for years, and the timing just worked out. And again, they're, like, such a great band, and I think, like, their audience will dig us and vice versa. I think it's a really cool package to bring to the West Coast. I mean, we've been hitting the West Coast, I think, doing, like, a 10-day West Coast tour for, like, the last 12 years or something like that. We always try to team up with another kind of, like, band our size because it just makes it more exciting and whatever. Yeah. And we're excited to finally do it with Big D. So, getting ready to go.
The 2 days.
Yeah, I saw y'all a couple of years ago play the Viper Room. So, yeah, you guys make it out to the West Coast. I dig it. I love it.
Right on. Thanks. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
I will be at bags. I will be at the Garden Amp show in Garden Grove. RJ is going to be at the LA show.
The Knitting Factory, yeah.
Oh, cool. You guys got it covered. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right. If you need to make me to, like, bring anything from, like, one show to the other, you know, I don't know.
Pass a note? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. All right. So, you know, I'm sure you get asked this question a lot, but it's something I definitely find interesting. Sort of, you know, the ska scene energy from the early 90s, you know, you all started in 91, and, you know, the ska scene energy through the 90s, and, you know, the ska scene energy, you know, in 2023. Is there anything you notice that is different, both either bad or good, positive or negative?
I mean, I think it's a little different. I mean, overall, I think the energy is there. And I mean, it really reminds me of what was going on in the 90s, the energy now.
Yeah.
It's a little less, like, I think it's better now. It's, like, more sustainable, right? In the 90s, you know, like, from 93 to 95 was probably the best because it was still underground, but it was building, right? Mm-hmm. And then like 95, 96, like the major labels jumped in. There's sort of a feeding frenzy. I was on TV and it became like too trend driven and got too mainstream, right? Mm-hmm. And so it kind of imploded on itself by the end of that decade. And I think now is better in a way because it's still like very grassroots, but it's building more slowly and sustainably, which is cool. I mean, there's definitely some differences, you know, both good and bad. I mean, people don't, there's less peer pressure in a way now, and it's certainly a little bit more open-mindedness. I think in the 90s, there was still like more, like you had to be trad or you had to be punk or you had to be whatever, this or that. I think there's more openness in terms of like music and that sort of thing. I think there's definitely more openness about how you dress for a show, which I think is both good and bad, because I kind of miss like the way people like in the 90s, people used to like pull up their scooters with their like three button suits, finished suits and stuff like that. And I think that part of the culture is actually really, really cool. And I think that's, you don't see that as much. So I don't know, that's both good and bad, because I mean, I like the fact that I think it's become more inclusive, which is cool, but I hope it holds on to a certain element of its culture, if that makes sense. But there's less, I mean, there's some obviously like really good things. There's less violence at shows. You know, you don't see any Nazi skinheads showing up to shows anymore. I mean, I think overall it's in a really, really great place, the whole ska scene right now, and I'm really happy about it.
Awesome. So our pal Gary, he wanted to know if there would ever be a sequel to your DVD, Never Get Out of the Van. He really loves that, and
oh, cool.
He wants to know, will there ever be a sequel to that?
You know, it would kind of make sense, because I mean, it's like the history of Buster Blood, but then it stopped in like, I don't know, was it 2012 or something like that? I don't know when we put that together. I mean, it's been a minute. I mean, it was a few records ago, I think. Like we haven't really talked about it, and part of it was like that was really a harder undertaking than we thought. And the guy was a friend of ours, Ben, who put it together. And he was really excited about the project at first, but then I think he just got overwhelmed. We gave him like all these like VHS tapes of old shows and this and that. And I think he just got overwhelmed. It was just like a long slog to get it finished. I think if there was someone that like approached us about doing like part two or like a revised version,
sure.
That was really excited about it and had a lot of experience doing that, then we'd be up for it, you know? But I don't think, as far as like the band, I don't think we have the energy to do it ourselves at this point.
Yeah.
And I think it takes so much energy that it would probably distract us from other things.
Yeah. So,
but I do feel bad about it, because it's like a really incomplete, this is the history of Mustard Plug, but it's only half of it. You know what I mean?
Right. So Gary, it's
time to put Chris to work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Gary, get Chris Grau to join you, and you can do it. You can make it happen. So I don't know if you know this though. When Gary mentioned that, I looked it up. And did you know that documentary thing is actually free to stream on Roku?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so those out there, if you want to stream it and haven't seen this, you should check it out. It's free on Roku.
Well, it was on YouTube for a little bit.
I think it still might be.
Actually. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. Funny you mentioned it, because I just got... Where is it? So this, you can't see it, but you guys can, is a hard drive I just got for our bass player 3 days ago, our old bass player, Rich Johnson, who's not in the band anymore, but anyways, our buddy. And this hard drive has our DVD on it, right? And he's like, dude, you should just put it up on your YouTube channel. I'm like, okay. So that's something that like I think we'll do pretty soon.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of weird, because it is an incomplete history of Buster Blood, but... I think it'd be fun to put out there again.
It was complete at the time, and I think people will understand. Because it's not like you know, people assumed that, oh, now the band's breaking up. This is it. This is the whole story. We're done.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, we appreciate your time tonight. Thank you for joining us. And of course, before we head out, we always do ska picks of the week. For new listeners, that is, everyone gets to pick a song that we put on a ska playlist called Ska Favorites. So you can follow that over on Spotify. Dave, what did you pick for your ska pick of the week?
I picked the new song, Swan Song by Flying Raccoon Suit, their new single that just dropped. And they have a new album coming out. And Andrew actually, they're played sax. Andrew from the band played sax for us at Supernova. So he's our new best friend, and we love Andrew so much right now. And they're a great band, and I can't wait to hear the full album.
Yes. So here is Flying Raccoon Suit with Swan Song. So that is Flying Raccoon Suit with Swan Song. And that new record, you can pre-order it on vinyl right now from Bad Time Records. I did today, as of this morning, I did see low vinyl alert. So I don't know how much they got left. But if they do, you should check it out over at Bad Time Records. The new album.
I'm covered. Mine's coming in the mail as soon as possible.
Yeah. Thanks. RJ is
same with the Mustard Plug album.
All right, so my ska pick is from the band I mentioned earlier that I think is super underrated. It's the Orange County band Hooray for Our Side. I'm gonna play pretty much my favorite song by them. It is called Out of Time, and yes, that is a Back to the Future reference. So yeah, let's check out Hooray for Our Side with Out of Time.
From suburban homes in RSM to faithlessness in a punk rock band, I didn't think that it all go by so fast. Community service and late night shows, I'm not sure where my time goes. I didn't
Yes, I love this band.
Great bunch of guys.
Yes. Not only are they cool
write
people.
Nifty music.
Cool people, but they write good songs. And we love some Hooray for Our Side. All right, RJ, what do you got for your ska pick of the week?
Well, you know, whenever my favorite Welsh ska band puts out a new song, I'm going to play it. Cartoon Violence put out a new song called No Detective. And I've been jamming to it, and I really like it, and I wanted to share it with everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that is a good song right there.
Yeah, and they're letting Sash sing a bit more. I really enjoy that. So, yeah, I mean, when they brought her in to start playing saxophone around the organ-driven thing they already had going, that was a great addition. And her singing more and more has been a little treat. So I was very glad to hear it on their new track.
That's awesome. Well, listeners, if you want to hear more from this week's guest, you should sign up for On the Upbeats Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/ontheupbeatska, and you get a bunch of bonus episodes that have already been made available. You know, we have sort of extended interviews, you know, from our weekly guests.
And we just goof around and bring up bizarre stuff with our guests and see how they react. Usually yeah. It's good. I've yet to have a bum one, but you never know. Make sure to sign up for the Patreon and see if Dave blows us off in all our stupid questions.
So it's $4 a month. That gets you the Patreon bonus episodes and some other perks that you can check out at patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. Dave, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And listeners, thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. Make sure you rate and review wherever you listen. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the new episodes as soon as they drop. And, of course, until next time,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.